KPFA and the entire Pacifica network are in danger. A clique of managers and board members seem determined to eviscerate the politics of the only independent radio network in the United States. These people shut down KPFA in the summer of 1999, shut down and reprogrammed WBAI in late 2000, and most recently, they suspended Amy Goodman and pulled Democracy Now! From all the Pacifica stations except this one. They have stacked the board of directors with people committed to using listener funds to pay high-priced lawyers to fight the staff and community who built the network. Be on alert, stay informed, and to find out the latest, you can call 510-287-5551. That's 510-287-5551. Together, we'll save KPFA and Pacifica.
And you're tuned to 94.1 FM KPFA or KPFB in Berkeley or KFCF in Fresno, your listener-sponsored free speech radio station for more than 50 years. Coming up next, Larry Bensky with our Sunday Salon. Stay tuned.
Kinder, gentler theme music for Sunday Salon this Sunday, October 21st in the year 2001. This is Sunday Salon, heard every week at this time from 9 to 11 a.m. I'm Larry Bensky. The news headlines today from the conflicted zone of Pakistan and Afghanistan indicate that bombing is continuing in that region, although of an unspecified nature, since news media are being kept away from the aircraft carriers where the bombers are leaving, as well as, of course, the target sites. People are fleeing the city of Kandahar by the tens of thousands, apparently, but Pakistani border guards are not letting them out of Afghanistan. The Associated Press reporting that border guards have opened fire to force back a crowd of thousands of Afghans demanding to be allowed into Pakistan. There's another anthrax case reported on Capitol Hill, this time airborne anthrax, contracted by a postal worker, but the word is that he will recover as he's now being treated. The United States government once again promising Pakistan rewards for its cooperation in the fight against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. An assistant undersecretary of state saying that Pakistan will be helped to get out from its $37 billion debt if it continues to cooperate. And a report from today's Washington Post by the consummate Washington inside reporter Robert Woodward. Bob Woodward reporting that the CIA has been told to do whatever necessary to kill Osama bin Laden, that the CIA's budget has been strengthened by more than $1 billion, and that a new document called the Threat Matrix is on high security officials' desks every day, with at least 100 threats to United States facilities in the United States and around the world reported last week. This is very interesting reading, a lengthy report by Bob Woodward in today's Washington Post, which you can, of course, access online. We'll be talking about the situation in Pakistan and Afghanistan and back home, its repercussions, in our second hour today, as we discuss the community ceremony that is coming up for Barbara Lee this afternoon in front of the Oakland City Hall that begins at 2:30 in KPFA's live broadcast with Walter Turner and Amelia Gonzalez hosting, begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That'll be on the air right here, 94.1 FM from 2 to 5. Later this hour, we'll be talking to a reporter on the scenes in Israel about the increased Israeli incursions into Palestinian territories and that what that may or may not mean. But this hour, we're going to begin with something that we are actually going to rebroadcast at 10:30 this morning and then at 5:30 this afternoon. Earlier this week, word began to circulate here inside KPFA and over KPF airwaves and also over the Internet that there was a threat that KPFA would once again be shut down, this time because the Pacifica Foundation was either unable or unwilling to pay KPFA's bills. There are apparently some $114,000 in unpaid bills out there somewhere, including a bill of some $9,400 to PG&E, which sent a 7-day cutoff notice to KPFA last week. These bills are paid by Pacifica out of a central fund of money. It was KPFA management and staff's understanding that we had something like a $200,000 or $300,000 surplus at KPFA because all of our fund drives, except the last one, which fell slightly short over the past couple of years, have exceeded their goals, sometimes by many tens of thousands of dollars. However, Pacifica has continued to spend money at a rate that we have been unable to determine because they release no financial statistics, not even to their own board or their own executive committee. It has been an assumption that because Pacifica has had expensive corporate law firms working for them for the past 2.5 years, as well as public relations firms and security firms, that at some point they would run out of money, and apparently that point may now have been reached. In this half hour, we're going to explore the current situation and try to find out what the truth is insofar as we can. We want to not be alarmist to listeners, but we want to also be realistic about what our situation is. And joining me at this time to explore that situation are four people, all of whose voices are pretty familiar to you by now in this 2.5-year-long struggle that we've been undergoing here ever since Mary Frances Berry took over the Pacifica Board of Directors and made it self-perpetuating and insulated and isolated from all accountability. On the telephone, joining us from his home in Palo Alto, is one of our two valiant national board members, along with Pete Bramson, Tomas Moran, who for months and months and years now has attempted to get Pacifica to be responsive around many issues, including most specifically the financial issues. Tomas Moran, welcome once again to Sunday Salon.
Good morning, Larry.
Also joining us by telephone, she from San Francisco is the chair of the local advisory board, the elected local advisory board here at KPFA. And that is Sherry Gendelman, who has also been trying for a long time to get financial and political and mission accountability out of Pacifica, so far to no avail. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Larry.
And here in the studio with me are two people, one of whose voices is very familiar to you, the longtime co-host of the morning show at KPFA, first for many years with Chris Welch and now for the last couple of years with Andrea Lewis, Philip Maldry. Good morning, Philip.
Very nice to be here, Larry.
I'm sure it is, honestly. Well, how nice it must be for you to get up.
2 hours later than I typically. This is nothing, Larry. You've got no right to complain at all.
I know I don't, but I will anyway. Philip Maldry, in addition to his on-air role, is one of the shop stewards of the Communication Workers of America local that represents the paid workers here at KPFA. And also joining us is Dan Siegel, who is one of the attorneys representing the joint lawsuits. There are four lawsuits on behalf of listeners and various board members, local and national, that have now been consolidated. Dan is the senior attorney in this matter, since the local advisory board lawsuit, whose clients he represents, was the first one filed. Dan Siegel, thank you very much for coming in and joining us.
Sure, Larry. Good morning.
Tomas Moran, I want to start with you. If you could briefly tell us what the economic situation is. I know that both you and Sherry Gendelman have been trying to assist KPFA's management and oversight of the finances, which, of course, we don't control here, but we do see some aspects of it. What did you find out this week, and what do you think the current situation is about where Pacifica is financially?
Well, as you said, Larry, we found this week that a number of bills had been unpaid, but the particularly alarming one was the PG&E bill, which had a due date of this coming Monday, for a total of $9,476. And It is a shutdown notice, which means that KPFA could theoretically, if BGN decides to go ahead and pull the plug, be off the air through no action on the part of Pacifica, but simply from non-payment. We've been trying for months to find out what the situation is, both from Pacifica and through the KPFA management, which they have lost more and more of their ability to account for these. All they see is that they send a bill onto Pacifica, and a month later perhaps receive a late notice from the vendor saying, what's up with the payment? So we are unable to track the payments, only seeing the bills and seeing the late bill notices. And at this point, as you announced, the accounting that we have is that there's over $100,000 in unpaid bills. Leslie Kagan, Pete Bramson, and I, as co-members of one of the lawsuits, sent a letter to Bessie Wash and to Bob Farrell this Friday, demanding to understand if that bill was to be paid on Monday, and secondarily asking for a series of very crucial financial information, a total of the accounts that are still payable, particularly for the KPFA unit, and an accounting as to when they expect those to be paid, and also the balances of accounts in KPFA's liquid accounts and investment accounts. We've been asking for this for a long time. We're entitled to it as fiduciary officers, and we haven't gotten it. And this letter went out on Friday and has been copied to our lawyers at this point.
You asked for a response by the close of business on Friday. Did you get one?
No, I did not. I got an indirect response that we've heard now broadcast through the Internet that perhaps the payment to the Pacific Gas and Electric has been made via Federal Express. But that's a rumor as far as I'm concerned. I did not receive a response as requested. And on Monday, I will be calling Bessie's office and expecting other responses by the end of business day on Monday that we demanded these other numbers. We wanted to make sure that the response that we asked on Friday was exclusively, are you paying this bill on Monday? On Monday, we have a number of other items that are due to us, in the form of information, accounts, balances, and so forth, because I strongly suspect that the balances in Pacifica's cash accounts have dwindled tremendously. I know that they just had a fundraiser in Houston, but the other fundraisers, the ones that bring in the large amount of money, the listeners have turned off the flow of money to Pacifica, and I'm afraid that we're close to out of money.
Dan Siegel, last December, as I recall, you noticed a deposition to the then controller of the Pacifica Foundation, Sandra Rosas. Shortly after that, she was severed. I don't know if she was fired or quit or there was some settlement. I've never been clear about what happened to her. She was the controller of the foundation for 10 years, operating out of Los Angeles, and allegations were made that suddenly she was found to be incompetent. And in the course of asking for her deposition, which is part of your lawsuit, alleging that Pacifica has behaved illegally and irresponsibly, you are asking, as lawsuits do, for production of documents on which you would base her deposition, which was supposed to be back in January. We're now in October. Pacifica has not given its own board, as Tomas Moran, a board member, just said, any financial statistics for over a year now. What has been your situation? Have you ever gotten the documents you need in order to depose Sandra Rosas and other fiduciary officers of this corporation?
After a very long struggle, we have actually finally gotten the documents. Within the last week, we've received at our various law offices about 25 boxes of Pacifica's financial records that we're starting now to go through to try to put together a comprehensive understanding of what Pacifica's financial situation is. With respect to the current cash flow crisis, it's obvious that Pacifica has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even reaching the sum of $1 million to defend itself from itself, in that the lawsuits that we've brought obviously have been brought to restore Pacifica to democratic functioning and financial responsibility. The lawyers are bleeding Pacifica dry. Some of the documents reflect that. We've just started to go through them, but we expect also to take Rosas's deposition within the next couple of weeks.
Now, it's entirely possible that the documents you received are not responsive to what you're looking for. They may be responsive, but since there's 25 boxes of them, there's going to be no way to know until you have experts go over them exactly what's in them. Is that correct?
To an extent, that's true. I've already gone over the general ledger that takes us up to a few months ago, so we can at least on one level reconstruct the total payments to law firms, public relations firms, security firms, and so on.
I heard that the sum was over $2 million that they've spent so far, but we perhaps will be able to find that out more clearly. Philip Maldry, the staff of KPFA has been having meetings for 2.5 years now, but especially for the last month or so, trying to figure out what to do about what would normally be a scheduled on-air fundraising drive. We fundraised before, knowing the contradiction that Pacifica could take out as much money as it wanted to do whatever it wanted, but theoretically it would still pay KPFA's bills, at least, with some of the money that was raised on the air here. Where are we at now with the staff and union's approach to what has been, as I understand it, an order from the executive director to begin a fundraising drive?
Well, I've heard it's a little bit less than an order, but it's certainly a plea for us to go on the air and start raising money. There have been 7 fundraising drives since Nicole Sawaya's firing on March 31st, 1999. And in all of those, except for the last one, we surpassed our goals. And in each of them, we told our listeners, and we also were convinced, whether it's true or not now, I'm not sure, that 83% of the money donated to KPFA would actually go to KPFA for the purpose of paying our bills, both the payroll and all the other bills from PacBell, PG&E, et cetera, as well as the note on the building. And, in fact, during that period, the bills were paid until this last period, which, of course, changes things. Something else that's changed things is the 17% that was taken off the top by Pacifica also paid for Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's program. And, of course, we support Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!, so the expenditure from the money raised here at KPFA to keep that program on the air was a totally valid expenditure, and we supported that. But now Amy Goodman has been severed from Pacifica, if that's the right word. Her program only airs on KPFA, and then KPFA, with the help of KFCF in Fresno, transmits it to over 30 stations across the country, but none of them Pacifica stations. So the logic of the 17% going to Pacifica no longer exists, as we have no accounting, as you mentioned, until Dan Siegel just mentioned the delivery of these 25 boxes. For a year, we've had no accounting of what they've done with the money. And we can't really tell listeners with any confidence when we go on the air and raise money what's happening to that money. And that has created quite a,
dilemma.
Dilemma, controversy. Our staff meetings have been almost weekly, which is quite unusual because usually they're bimonthly. And they've been very well attended, 60, 70 people at each meeting. We discussed the possibility of trying to raise money for a separate institution, a separate account that would pay the bills for KPFA. And every lawyer we've gone to has said that that would be illegal, and people attempting to do that using the airwaves for that purpose would be violating the law.
Well, Philip,
that's not exactly true.
Sherry Gendelman, go ahead. Go ahead, Sherry.
I mean, I think that the advice was that it would certainly be problematic and it might give rise to some lawsuits. Illegal makes it sound as if we would be engaging in some criminal act. I do want to say that the staff has really risen to the occasion, and the new information that has been received in terms of what Pacifica is or is not doing with our listener-donated funds. And I have attended many of those staff meetings because I don't have enough meetings to attend.
You don't have a life, that's why.
I don't have a life other than the station. In fact, Philip and I are engaged.
You know, Sherry, you're absolutely right in terms of it not being illegal or criminal. I think it could jeopardize staff and management of KPFA, but certainly if listeners
took it upon themselves to establish such a fund and to encourage donors to contribute to such a fund instead of the regular fundraising, that would be perfectly legal, and any of us could establish a fund and pay PG&E bills, staff expenses, and so on.
Well, there already is one via Friends of Free Speech Radio, and people who are interested in that should just log on to, as indeed they should for this entire controversy, www.savepacifica.net, and they will receive the details of what's going on there. Yes,
and let me be specific about what we were told is illegal, and I'm not a lawyer, so we got two lawyers here, so I'll stand corrected, I'm sure. But what we've been told is if we use the facilities of KPFA, if we use the telephones, if we use the airwaves, if we use the studios for the purpose of raising money for something else, that is the problem. We can announce there's a benefit for this organization there. We can say, go to hear Joan Baez sing at Berkeley Community Theater. All those things are totally legal.
Well, Philip, while we're... Yeah, that is legal, and it's true that Pacifica may, in fact, initiate some legal proceeding to retrieve the money. In raising the money, we don't want to create more litigation, even though I'm sure that Dan and the other lawyers could use the business. That's not our purpose.
I'm sure Dan could be very, very happy if he didn't have this business anymore.
But, okay, in terms of raising money, also at some point I do want to make an announcement about a blessed event that has fallen upon us, and that is that Lily Tomlin has agreed to do a benefit performance on behalf of Free Speech Radio and KPFA. And maybe we can address that a little bit later. But
why don't you address it right now while people are listening? When and where is this?
Well, Lily Tomlin, as people probably know, is in San Francisco for a run and an update of her show, Signs of Intelligent Life. And we had an idea that we would expand the circle of celebrities and who would address the crisis of Pacifica and the issue.
Sherry, we don't have a lot of time. If you could just tell us when and where this is happening.
So it is on... October 31st, Halloween evening. They have donated 200 tickets, and the announcement, the exact logistics of how one acquires the tickets for that show and tickets to a reception that Lily will attend after will be addressed, I believe, in the next show, which is Robbie's show. All of the information about how and when and where and the cost of the tickets will be announced on the next show and throughout the week. I also just want to take a moment to thank Sharon Wood for helping to secure Lily's performance.
Thank you, Sharon Wood, who's co-producer of the great documentary film with Veronica Silver about KPFA. Tomas Moran, there's a board meeting scheduled for Washington, D.C., November 16th through 18th.
Yes, it is.
What do you expect to happen at that board meeting that will implicate the future of this station and this organization?
Well, I'm trying to secure my items into the agenda right now. I'm in an exchange with Bob Farrell to ensure that the items that I've put down, which are very specific items, I am making motions to immediately dismiss the executive director based on the performance. I want that question called to the floor. I want a full report on finances that's very detailed that I've sent in. It's stuff that we should be getting anyhow. And I want to make it clear for the listeners where this 17% business, it's an accounting number. There's not 17% that has gone, and there's not 83% has not been going to KPFA. It's been diverted to pay these other bills. So that's an accounting number that has no basis in reality today. And let's stop talking about 17%. It goes into a big account, and they pay whatever bills they want to pay out of that. So I expect all of that come to the floor on the meeting on the 17th. We have by stipulation now the right to place any items on the agenda, and we have placed all of these crucial items, mainly of finance, of the lack of accountability of the executive director and her appointments of the program director, who is largely responsible, apparently, as far as the information that we have, to a lot of the events at New York and to the crisis with Democracy Now. So all those items are supposed to be on the agenda.
Tomas, we should say that you've been trying for over 2 years to get items on the agenda. You notice them, you send them, you email them, you copy them, and at every board meeting, just about the whoever happens to be chairing the board meetings, whether it's Mary Frances Berry or David Acosta, we'll see about Robert Farrell, says, oh, we didn't receive them, you didn't follow procedures, gavel down, next question. Now, all of this, of course, Dan Siegel is part of your lawsuit that Pacifica is not obeying its own bylaws and standard practices for nonprofit organizations, is it not?
The difference right now, Larry, is we have a stipulation that was signed in June that entitles me to place these items in the agenda merely by noticing them to the chair within 7 days of the notice of the meeting. I have complied with that, and it has been acknowledged by the chair that he received my communication, so I expect those items to be on the agenda.
Let's finish up here with where we are in the legal situation, Dan Siegel. Trial date is set for, is it January 9th of next year?
January 6th.
January 6th, thank you. You have to prepare for trial no matter what happens. You have depositions of how many people now scheduled?
There's about 60 depositions scheduled to take place over the next 2 months.
And these depositions, what are you trying to get out of the people you're deposing, who I assume include all the present and past directors of Pacifica during this period of time, the financial officers, the executive directors, et cetera?
Staff people, listeners, people who have been involved in the organization for years. We are attempting to pin down, number one, the violations of Pacifica's bylaws and articles of incorporation. Secondly, the financial mismanagement. Third, the political persecution of people from Amy Goodman to yourself by current management. It's a lot of work to do, but frankly, we're going to get it done. Even if we don't get it all done, we're going to be ready for trial in January.
Well, I want to thank all of you for being with us here and trying to clarify this. Philip, there's another meeting next Tuesday, I believe, of the staff, at which point you will decide in what manner to do what on the air as far as fundraising is concerned. How do you feel personally about going on the air at this point and raising money that you can't guarantee will go to pay your salaries and the other unionized workers, our PG&E bill, etc., and an unspecified percentage of which could be taken out by Bessie Wash or anybody in the Pacifica National Office to pay their corporate attorneys or their American Express cards or whatever? Are you comfortable with going on the air that way?
Well, I think everyone who is on the air, and actually probably a larger staff of people here at KPFA that typically are not on the air, are absolutely committed to being totally honest with whatever we say about fundraising on the air, so that whether or not this fundraising drive proceeds, it will be done in a totally truthful and upfront way, and we have to come to a conclusion about what's the best strategy. If you remember the Pacifica campaign that has been going on, Juan Gonzalez, Dan Coughlin, etc., for a long time, a year and a half at least, their strategy was to turn off the water, turn up the fire, if you will, the water being the cash and the fire being the community organizing to challenge these people. I think we're sort of in an end game right now. And so in an end game, it is sort of like playing chicken. That's what it feels like. It feels like playing chicken right now.
Well, once again, to bring people up to date on what we know, Pacifica has said that they have FedExed a check to PG&E for all or enough of the $9,400 that is due so that the power won't be turned off tomorrow. We, of course, if you turn on this radio station and you don't hear it here, you'll know that either the check didn't get there or something else happened.
We do have diesel generators.
That's
both
true.
At the transmitter and here at KPFA. Of course, it would be a much lower powered signal. It would not be 59,000 watts, but we do have a backup here.
And once again, to keep up with this and keep current, please log on to www.savepacifica.net. That's www.savepacifica.net.
Larry?
Yes, Sherry, one final word, quickly.
Final word. I want people to know that in terms of the lawsuits, the depositions are costly. There's a joint fund for the lawsuits. It's at the Vanguard Foundation. The information is at www.savepacifica.net, but just in case, you can send a check to 383 Rhode Island Avenue, suite number 301 in San Francisco at 94103. That's the Free Pacifica Legal / Vanguard Foundation. And one final word, I want to thank the station for saving our lives during this crisis with their extraordinary reporting. It has been truly essential.
Once again, that address, the Vanguard Foundation, 383 Rhode Island Avenue, Suite 301, San Francisco, 94103. Thank you, Sherry Gendelman, the chair of the local advisory board. Thank you, Tomas Moran, one of our two, along with Pete Bramson, stalwart members fighting against the Pacifica majority on our national board. Dan Siegel, one of the attorneys who's representing the four joined lawsuits. And Philip Maldry, whom you'll hear again tomorrow, and who I'm sure will have segments throughout the week as necessary to update listeners on this. Philip Maldry, longtime host of the morning show, co-host, in addition to being one of the shop stewards now for Communication Workers of America. Stay tuned.